Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. A little bit of a late start here this morning, but Dennis, we were just talking with you, or you started to mention an article by J.P. Morgan talking about the lack of fundamentals in the market. We were discussing SMG lower guidance, opening down several dollars and rallying. Could you just brief us on that article?
Well, let's talk the J.P. Morgan piece from yesterday there. Sure. I don't think you can hear me. Hopefully you can hear me now. Let me know, chat, if you can hear me okay. Otherwise, I'm just talking to myself here. But J.P. Morgan put out a note yesterday, death of the human investor, citing that, and this is from J.P. Morgan's Marko Kolanovic, saying the majority of equity investors today don't buy or sell stocks based on stock-specific fundamentals. J.P. Morgan believes the recent sell-off in technology stocks may have been related to quantitative and computer trading, not traditional fundamental investors. So with that being said, if we're not trading on fundamentals anymore, what do the numbers matter?
You're talking
SMG, great example. Great example from yesterday, you know, of this. And, you know, I believe this too. We've said this on the show for a long time. So none of this shocking to me what J.P. Morgan is saying. I think there's a huge disconnect between, you know, companies and stock fundamentals now and traditional and actually and price. Because, you know, you look at something like SMG from yesterday. Company comes out, lowers guidance. Stock opens down and then runs up 10 bucks. I mean, I look at this, and the media will find a way to justify it. They always do. They'll dig through the report and find the silver lining, and then print the silver lining and say, that's why we rallied. A lot of times we're rallying just because the quants want us to rally. And that's another thing from the J.P. Morgan note, too. They're saying that quantitative trading – did you see it in there, Spencer, what the numbers were? Yeah, quantitative trading
investing. 60% of all trading volume is due to quants and passive investors.
I mean, ETFs involved in that as well, obviously. You know, if you've got Tesla in your ETF, you got to buy Tesla. If you start a new ETF and it's tracking all the momos, you got to buy Tesla stock for your ETF. So, you know, you see this continued run here in Tesla. You know, Musk has said also as well, he doesn't, you know, think that, you know, the market cap that, you know, the market's giving them is justified here. You know, we're at 379. I mean, this is how it goes. But momentum starts going in one direction. You got everybody owning this thing. You know, you can say, okay, well, eventually this company is going to be, you know, the number one automaker. Eventually this company is going to change the world. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But I'll tell you, there isn't even that connection, you know, not with just Tesla as an example, with price and fundamentals. There's a breakdown in a lot of different cases now. And quantitative investing a lot to do with that too. I mean, momentum markets start going in one direction. Everybody hops on board. The quants, the bots hop on board. Even, you know, whoever, whatever 10% of human investors are left, they're all momentum investors here too. They're not sitting there crunching balance sheets and analyzing, you know, income statements here. They're trading on momentum as well. Everything's moved technical, so, you know, so I guess that's what we're in. So if you're sitting there and, you know, you're analyzing and crunching your numbers, it doesn't seem to work anymore.
Yeah, great example, that Scott's Miracle-Gro. We talked about that. You said maybe a continuation move today because, you know, people that are shorted that in the hole but covered. Looking at the high from yesterday, that's what you're banking on. You're banking on this taking out yesterday's high, closed right near the high of the session, 89.96 was the high, 9.83 closed. 90 is a nice round number as well. You had a high at 90, just over 90 back on May 8th. So big round number like that. Let's see if that will hold it. As far as Tesla, I mean, it went down. It got hit with the other issues on Friday. While the others went down on Monday, that did not. They had a strong day trading up in the pre-market as well. Let me give you that pre-market high in Tesla. That's the only thing we have at 380.20. Once again, running into a whole number. But, Dennis, why don't we go out and buy the 400 calls right now? Because, you know, another day or two, and that's could be at
it's
that nice.
It's just up every day. Yep. It's up every day. Tweet from let's just talk Tesla here just for a second. I want to go back to SMG as well. But tweet from our buddy Paul LaMonica there over at CNN Money. And he says, Tesla is up again in the pre-market just because. That's the best summary. That's the best summary right there, Paul. You're absolutely right. It's up just because it's Tesla and it's momentum market and everybody wants it. No, so that's what it is. You know, everybody wants it now. Eventually, everybody won't want it. And we'll see, you know, it'll pull an NVIDIA somewhere there and fall 20% in a day. And they'll try to find the reason for it. And meanwhile, it'll just be everybody hitting the panic button at the same time. All the quants hitting the panic button at the same time. It's the market that we're in. But let's go back to the SMG. Not only are the quants, you know, in the market and pushing the stocks around, they also punish the maximum amount of participants. Imagine that you were shorting SMG on that guidance yesterday morning and the stock opens down. It is in your face so fast. The stock opened. Where did it open, Joel?
Let me get the well,
right at the low.
Right at the low. Let me get the actual print. It was actually down on very light volume too, Dennis. So let me give you that opening print of 81.59, 81.48 low.
Yeah, so that's actually a pre-market, and then it actually opened on New York, I believe, at 82.62. So it started running already. So they were hitting a pre-market. All the people hitting the pre-market, they're in trouble. They're basically screwed. 82.62 it opens, and then it goes straight up 4 points in a matter of like 10 minutes. So it is just punishing anyone who shorted that thing on bad guidance. So now you're sitting here, and there's no liquidity in the opening bar. You know, there's nobody. You know, nobody's really. So whoever's shorted the thing is stuck, and they're looking like they're scratching their head, they're pounding their head against the wall. Here's a stock on bad guidance. I feel like I got shorted. You know, maybe even 83.5 at a pretty good price because the stock, you know, has reported some bad guidance. It should go down. Well, the market, it doesn't matter if it's disconnected from fundamentals. It's just going to stick it in your face here because you were shorting it. And there's nobody, you know, other on the other side of the trade. So it's crowded to the short side with short-term day traders. The crowded trade always goes the other way because that's what's moving stocks right now. It's just, you know, short-term money. It's not long-term fundamentals. So with the short-term money all crowded on one side, stock continues to climb up in your face and then climbs the rest of the day as well. So if you were stubborn saying it's going to come in, now you're looking at a massive loss. If you were shorting this thing at 83, 84 bucks, stock's up at 89, 83, and you're significantly underwater. It's not a ton of people that are going to be short this thing. Just a few, probably a few short-term day traders that are, you know, pounding their head against the wall that were trying to trade it on fundamentals. And that's according to JP Morgan, it doesn't trade on fundamentals anymore. So you're trying to trade on something that doesn't matter. And here we are, 89.83, stock closes right at the high. I would not be the least bit surprised. This is a prime candidate for a two-day move. So now you have everybody still caught short. You can say, oh, well, 90 was a big resistance. You can try to trade technically, and maybe it's the case. But starts taking out 90, there's a lot of air above that as well. So this thing could see 91, 92, 93 today. You know, just, you know, and it could obviously go down as well. And it is going to have a pullback eventually. But just because a company has lowers guidance doesn't necessarily mean it's going to go down. That's my rant.
What did you have for the opening print in New York, Dennis?
81.59, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So right there.
Yep, there's one where, you know, if you were so inclined to buy the open there, you took 11 cents worth of heat, you probably were up a stick in that right away and took the profit
right away
if you had it. So once again, the emphasis of that opening print, once again, if you shorted it at that level too, good luck. Big volume yesterday in the move. I'm looking at the guidance here, and they were from they reduced it 4 to 4.20 from 4.10 to 4.30 estimates at 4.19, and they cut their sales growth. So yeah, I don't know. I've seen a lot.
That's media. You're being the media now, trying to justify a move. You can't just – JP Morgan just got done telling us you can't justify with fundamentals. So don't even worry about it. It just does what it wants to do. I'll tell you exactly why. It wasn't fundamentals. It's because a lot of people shorted that thing off the open on bad guys. It got crowded, and then it punishes all those traders. You can say, oh, well, that's conspiracy theory. No, that's fact. Like, that's it's how things work. I know there's a – you know, we ran a prop firm, 400 traders. You know, that's just one prop firm. They look at stuff like this. They sell stuff like this, you know, back in the day. I'm sure there's a lot of other prop firms, a lot of prop traders, a lot of short-term traders that said, hey, this is probably going down, and they short it, and then they're, like, scrambling for cover. So when trades get crowded, that's, you know, the fact. It's, you know, not the fact of SMG, but when I says fact, it's when trades get crowded short with short-term traders, it always goes the other way. And that's my main point here today. And it looks like we're going to have an educational show here because, you know, there's other points to be made here too. What you just said is a great point. What we preach on this show all the time is about that importance of that opening print. And when you can get on the right side of that trade, Well, maybe the quants will be pushing the stock in your favor. Or if you can figure out which side of the trade is crowded, you have with short-term day traders, you're going to have a big edge because it's going to go the other way. I mean, that's just what's moving the market around. It's not, you know, the institutions, you know, for the most part, you know, unless it's an Apple, you know, and it's the big guns, the institutions are coming into that and they can actually push the price around. It's going to be institutional money. But on something small like Scott's Miracle-Gro, how many institutions are trading that on the open? Probably almost none. So, you know, on an Apple, if Apple's lowering guidance, you got institutional action all over the place. So then it is moving a little bit more on company fundamentals. But on something like Scott's Miracle-Gro, that's just moving on short-term day traders.
And also they had it down. I mean, you know, the number came out and they're, I see like 46 shares traded or something like that. Ridiculous when it got down near that $80 level. So very, very little volume did that. There was some volume after the close, but it looks like they were near the opening print. But after that number came out, very, very little volume traded. So
that's by saying, oh, they did a stock buyback program. We can justify, and, you know, the media can always find the silver line. We can always find a reason after the fact for a stock going up or down. You can find a reason. A lot of times what I'm trying to tell you here is there is no reason. Maybe there was in this case. Maybe there wasn't. You can never prove any of this, you know, because you can't prove why somebody buys or sells. But I'll tell you, from my trading experience over the last 5 years, a lot of times the reason is simply crowded trades. It's absolutely nothing to do with company fundamentals. And that JP Morgan note was right spot on. A lot of times these moves have nothing to do with company fundamentals.
All right, Bob, I was not actually watching the tape when time of sales when it was traded down there, but I could just tell you, you know, just the volume picked up, you know, right after the open. I see a 12 shares traded, 10 shares traded, 16 shares traded. So very, very, very light volume down there. Valentina,
That's another warning. When you see that light volume, something trading down, just because, you know, it appears to have bad news, it doesn't necessarily mean when you're seeing the really light volume, it means nobody's really pricing it in there yet. So caution. And if you see heavy volume, it's hard for the stock to go back up because there will be some people that have bought it. Something's trade a million shares and it's down $2-3. Well, it's already getting priced in because there's some short-term traders that have bought that thing and they're going to be sellers on the way up. When something's traded a couple thousand shares, well, even though it's down a couple bucks, it's only traded a couple thousand shares and nobody's really bought or sell that. So it can easily go up. As volume increases, that's going to set the price even more. So that's why, you know, you have to always look at volume when you're looking at these moves.
All right, real quick on AMAT here by Valentina. We've had a pullback, hit an all-time high right near the $48 level, had a sell-off. I don't know if that was earnings or something that took it down.
No. The AMAT was just tech.
The tech wreck.
Yeah, it's another thing. That was on company fundamental. No, it wasn't. That was just because the quants all said sell tech that day. And it started with NVIDIA, and then it spilled over into everything.
All right.
Hit the panic button.
Let's keep an eye on $45. That's a 50% retracement. That's what the quants and the unfundamental people are going to be looking at today. had the high of 47.86, low 42.32. Almost a six-point move. I'd like to take half of that. So right there, right where it stopped yesterday, figure exact 50% retracement. You keep going through there. We're going back up to the highs, but that's 50%, something I like to keep an eye on.
Just one more note here, and then we'll leave the JP Morgan note on the sidelines. But it's just an interesting piece because it's stuff that we talk about on the show all the time. And it, you know, is just basically reiterating everything that we always say, you know, that the price just moves around on fundamentals. But there is an opportunity here because in this JP Morgan piece, they're saying that only 10% of trading is regular stock picking. And, you know, human investors are a very small piece of this now. There is a place still for those fundamental traders, because I will tell you, in the long, long run, companies will still go to fundamental values. They will deviate in the short run, and the short run can last months, sometimes maybe even years. But in the long run, if a company is losing money and goes bankrupt, it is going to zero. If a company is, you know, changing the world and has an awesome product, it is going to go a lot higher. So there is definitely an opportunity for somebody who, you know, can hold through all the nonsense of day-to-day pricing action, even the nonsense of week-to-week or month-to-month pricing action. But if you can find good companies at cheap prices because, you know, of this all nonsense that goes on every day, there is a huge opportunity for you there. And also, your competition is much less than it was 15 years ago or 20 years ago when the majority of trading was done by humans. Humans can think. Obviously, algorithms can't. They're just doing what they're programmed to do. So when there is, you know, that breakdown, and we saw this back on May 6, 2010 during the flash crash, when we saw companies like of Accenture trading down to 1 penny a share. I think there was 350 companies that day that traded down to 1 cent a share. Well, you as a human investor can say, this is not rational. You know, then, you know, I'm going to be buying some stock. Now, all your trades got busted that day, so regulators came in and screwed you anyways. But there is that opportunity when price substantially deviates from fundamental value, what, you know, maybe a company should be worth. There's an opportunity in the long run for those traders. Now, we're more short-term traders on the show. We're looking for setups. We're going with momentum. We're doing lots of things. But like I said, I run a long-term investing portfolio too, and that is why I'm a contrarian long-term investor, because sometimes you'll see these huge wicked sell-offs in fantastic companies, and that will give you, you know, that long-term opportunity. If you can hold through all the pain of, you know, because you're never going to call the bottom, you might have to hold it. It might hold 10, 20% against you in your long-term investment portfolio. But if you're buying good companies, in the long run, you should make money.
All right. Downward Dog's calling you the new John Templeton.
I don't know. Well, that's not a good thing, actually, because we just got done saying how the quants are running the show now. So, anyways, Double D, thank you. Let's move on here to actually some more news here, because we beat that dead horse pretty hard there. Spencer's probably shaking his head at me. So moving on, H&R Block earnings. Here's a company that we think is trading on fundamentals here this morning. Stock is trading up 9%. It actually had a good report, so it looks like it is trading on fundamentals. Mr. Spencer, how did H&R Block do yesterday? Last night.
Q4 adjusted EPS of $3.76 versus $3.53 estimate, so a nice 23-cent beat there. Sales of $2.328 billion versus a $2.32 billion estimate, so a good report. They are raising their dividend from 22 cents to 24 cents a share as well.
$30. I'm going to say it. That is a big hole psychological level. What's the after-hours high? I haven't even looked yet, Joel. I'm guessing it's up near 30.
Yeah, I got a little bit over that to 30, 40, but now it's digesting that move a little bit. And now at 29.50, 30 should be a nice hole number. I know you mentioned so. There was only 6,000 shares there. So let's see what happens.
Early, though.
Yeah, it's still early. Got the gap ago last earnings and just held in that level. Now you got another gap ago. We'll have to go to a longer term chart here on the weeklies. And wow, there was a bad week back here in March of 2016. So a lot of air in between there, but 30 looks like a nice level. Also, what do you got? A move from 37 to 19. That's 18. Add 9. $27. So you're already over the 50% retracement. We'll be using 30 as a key level today in H&R Block.
But that stock hung out for a month at the 50% retracement level, really, because you can say in May it got to 27. It took an earnings report to break it through the 50%. It's market trades technical. A lot of times, you know, the basic technical support, resistance, and trends, and the 50% retracement. Those are, Joel and I, our favorite stuff. And I think a lot of times that stuff works.
Yeah, especially in NVIDIA. How do you like that yesterday? We had talked about the 50% retracement at the 155 area. It got
great
up,
call,
yeah,
Joel.
Got up there.
You said that level, yeah. And that was a high. Just under it.
Yeah. Well, actually, it hung out there in the pre-market. Didn't quite get there in the regular session. Kaplooey all the way down to 146, then closes at 152. Maybe we need like a 3-for-1 stock split in this thing or something to tame it down a little bit. But definitely.
That's the quietest 10-point range I think I've ever seen. Because you look at it, like even on like the 3-day chart, that 9-point sell-off looks like a blip. Because, you know, on Citron Day, the thing had a 30-point sell-off? What was it, the sell-off there on the
68,
first day? The first,
oh, yeah. Even more.
26-point sell-off. So the little 10-point range yesterday looks like nothing on the chart. It looks like a little blip. That's a 10-point range on a $150 stock. You're talking about moving around 7, 8%.
Yeah, almost an inside day. No, but it broke out. It came out to the upside. But, yeah, good level. Even we get back up there today, nice comeback. Back there in shares of NVIDIA.
Wild child. Downward Dog wants to know about EGOV. We were going to the opposite scale.
Wow.
I don't know anything about this company, but let's talk.
We'll do well.
We can talk technicals about anything. And EGOV, Downtrend. I see a downtrend there, but I see it at the start of trying to break that downtrend. I had a nice candle yesterday. I'm not sure what the news was. I do not follow this company fundamentally. Sounds like from JP Morgan that I don't have to either. But EGOV, I see that little downtrend. Looks like it could challenge it here today. If you have a two-day move, which sometimes you do when a stock, and the two-day move is just basically, when a stock starts going the opposite direction of the direction it's been going with a nice, candle, a nice green candle in this case because the stock's been going down, a lot of times you see follow through the next day. So that could take us up to 21 if that's the case.
Yeah, I can't really draw a trend line because this high near 2250 really, I guess you could make it real steep. Not going to go with the trend line. I'm going to go with that $21 level, Dennis. I'll agree with you on this one. You had two highs at 2090 and 2105. So there's a double top. Not really getting a running start. You got 50 cents to go there, but could definitely be a level to keep an eye on. $21, great support in the lower 19 handle. Last three lows, 1965 and 1970. And hope not to get you on another tirade about the fundamentals, but we were talking about cake yesterday, and it had that wild move. It made its high and low of the session in the first minute. And that was it. And then just look at that. All that volatility, you would think, from the bad news. Yeah. You have the rate in 1 minute. And then look how it just digested that thing, bounced between 52 and 53. So, once again, putting another emphasis on that opening bracket, that opening minute.
There is so much opportunity in that opening minute. If you can get on the right side of the trade, you can make money so fast. We talked about Gilead 2 days ago with the big pop that it had. But look at Morgan Stanley. Look at the opening bar from that yesterday. Same exact thing. Stock opens up right near the lows. It runs up. And this is Morgan Stanley. It's a big company. And if you look at that bar from yesterday, it opened up. The open was 45.07, right at the low. 45.05 the low, so basically right at the low. It ran to 45.98, so it ran up 90 cents. Morgan Stanley, one of your biggest, banks in the world, brokers in the world, ran up in the first, 10 minutes. Boom. And then that's the entire range. And then the rest of the day. That's why, for my trading, I focus on that open. And if you can get on the right side of the trade, that's, where I'll say it again, I make most of my money. I do very little middle of the day trading because it's chop. It's, just trading, and just chopping around. And there's there's no method of the madness really. And it just kind of feels almost toxic. It's hard in the middle of the day. But that opening bar, there's a huge opportunity there if you get on the right side of the trade. That's where a lot of the money is made and lost every single day, right in the first 5 minutes.
And that was five-minute move, and Fuzzy saying, how do you catch the lowest?
Great question. Opening only orders. So, you use your OPG order. So you want to get in on that opening print. The nice thing about the opening, especially on NYSE stocks and also NASDAQ stocks, they got limit on open orders, the same thing on the NSDQ. You can put an order to try to capture and try to participate in that opening print. So you can put an order for Morgan Stanley to buy like 45.20, way high. If the stock opens at 45.07 in New York, you'll get 45.07. You get that opening print. So when I aggressively want to buy a stock, I'll put the order a little bit higher than where I think the price is going to open. If you've got, the consolidated quote feed, you can actually see the projected opening price. That comes out at 9.28. So then you can keep adjusting. If you really want to be long the stock, you can see, as it adjusts the price, it adjusts continuously after 9.28 until the stock opens. But it gives you a feel for, where the stock is going to open. And, if you can get on the right side of the trade, it's a great opportunity. I'll tell you, my overall strategy for the opens are to, get a lot of opening only orders. So maybe get, 10, 15 positions on from that opening print and then quickly manage out of the losers because, I want to capture, it's something that you taught me, and I've said on the show about a month ago, I want to try to capture that, alpha of the opening being too high or too low. And if I can do that, just looking at specifics of the companies and looking at, if I'm buying a stock too high or too low, if I'm wrong, the market's going to tell me I'm wrong because I'm going to start losing money. So if I go and focus on those losers right away and start getting out of those losers, then all I'm left is with my winners. So that's how I play it, is basically just looking and trying to trade on those opening bars and, trying to get on the right side of the trade and quickly managing out of the losers so that I don't have, a big loser on my hands when I'm on the wrong side of the trade.
not all platforms have the OPG, but I know you got it on yours, Dennis. And basically, it is a fill or kill order. If it's not executed on that opening print, boom, it's gone. So that is the OPG order getting a little pop out of gold here. I don't know if we had an 830 number, but
we must have, because banks are getting beat. The banks are getting hit right now as we're talking here. Banks are getting hit.
How come? What's going on?
We had retail sales. So that came out. We had core CPI as well. I'm not sure if that wouldn't hit the banks though.
Banks are getting hit. I'll tell you, Bank of America just fell 1%. Goldman's down 1%. Something happened.
All right. Well, I'll read you the numbers that just came out. Core retail sales for May were down 0.3% versus a 0.3% estimate. And the prior month was revised upward by a hair, and core CPI for May coming in same thing, is down 0.1% versus a 0.1% estimate. So slight misses for core CPI and retail. But I don't
just
know,
one more.
I'm not sure why that would affect the banks.
I'll just tell you, the banks getting hit on that gold pop, so there's got to be something else that we're maybe missing there. Anyways, because we're doing a live show, it's always tricky. So, yeah, I'll have the Benzinga news desk, and maybe Brentster, he usually knows there. So maybe give him a shout-out. Just to make a point, Ace is saying, you know, that maybe, you know, it's he says, in my opinion, most people should not be trading right at the open right away. It's a good point to make. This is not for beginners. When you're, you know, if you're, you know, just learning the markets, you've got to take your time. What I'll say is, if you're a seasoned trader, and you know you've been trading the markets for, you know, probably years maybe to be seasoned, there's a good opportunity at the open. That's why I focus there. But again, you've got to be very cautious there, because there's also a lot of risk. Where there's, you know, great possible returns, there's also a lot of potential risk as well.
Chili Trader with a good comment. Fed raising rates into a deflationary environment. So, you know, that's one thing. And we could just talk here a minute or two about the Fed meeting here. Bank America taking it on the chin a little bit. I mean, these stocks had a nice run, right, going into this. I think if the Fed comes out dovish at all here, they're just going to take these banks out to the woodshed here. Now, everyone's predicting that quarter point hike, which will more likely happen here, but man, I don't know if they come out anything dovish, and as you see the banks getting hit right now, they could be giving back a lot of these gains here in the banking sector. JP Morgan trading down 76 cents here.
They're hitting them.
Yeah. Yep.
And they're also buying. Check out the TLT. That got a huge pop on this. So your defensive stocks, again, think about, you know, your stocks like your you know, like your defensive stocks. I'm always talking like your Procter Gambles, your Cokes. Those sometimes actually rally. AT&T and Verizon's kind of trade like bonds as well. Those stocks tend to do better. You know, obviously your utilities are the ones that are going to trade, you know, most like this. Those stocks tend to do better with, you know, when rates are going to stay low here. And, you know, the chat is just saying here that U.S. May consumer prices, Chili Trader saying, you know, the fell 0.1%. Stock Hunter saying because core CPI, maybe that'll keep the Fed from raising rates today. I don't think so. But, you know, the market's looking at that saying, you know, this isn't, you know, maybe going to affect their comments, maybe.
Right.
And,
they'll,
you know,
get a
they'll be a little more dovish.
Right, right. Exactly. That's what we're looking for, the tone. All right.
It's all about the tone, Joel.
Hawkish versus dovish. All right. It is 8:35, and we got to bring in a trader. That's not only a trader, but a comedian as well. Jeremy Newsom, CEO of RealLifeTrading.com. And here's a guy that likes to attack the open. We'll get his strategies. We'll be right back with Jeremy. Welcome back, traders and investors, to Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep, brought to you by Benzinga Pro. I'm your co-host, Joel Alcon, along with Dennis Dick and Spencer Israel, working the boards. And we have Jeremy Newsom on the line, CEO of RealLifeTrading.com. Jeremy, are you down there in Nashville?
Yes, sir. Down here in Nashville, man. Loving it. Weather's beautiful. It was a little rough with the game six loss.
Yep.
The Penguins. That was a big deal, but it was hard.
All right.
The fans, unbelievable though for that. You know, like, I didn't realize Nashville is that much of a hockey town. They got behind their team. That was just something to watch. You know, just that series, just to see how involved the fans were. Fantastic job by the Nashville fans.
Thanks, man. Yeah, you're right. It was really shocking. I had no idea. Honestly, I didn't even watch hockey ever until about 2 years ago. and just started, you know, got season tickets to the Preds games and just started going. And yeah, it's been incredible. They're a really, really supportive team.
All right, Jeremy, we spent, I don't know if you were listening, we spent a good portion of the show at the beginning, you know, just talking about the lack of fundamentals in the market, just the crazy movements. And we were talking about SMG, Scott's Miracle-Gro. That's the stock of the show today. And mm-hmm. I know you're the kind of trader. I know a lot of your strategies are, you know, if you see something getting hit in the pre-market or getting bid up and you know, the opposite way in the market, you don't try and fight that. You try and go with it. Now, I know SMG is not a heavily traded stock here. It was trading down on light volume. I don't know if you participated in that. You could tell us your experience, but, you know, how do you avoid, you know, when you're having that kind of strategy, how do you avoid like a disaster of shorting something like SMG in the hole? And if you do, how do you handle it?
That's a really good question, man. So one of the most interesting things, especially when you're day trading, that I like to approach is I have to have a specific risk size for any trade that I go into. And I was actually telling a guy the other day, he was a trader named Scott over there in California. He traded really well for about 3 months. And then two bad trades, he blew out all of those gains with one big loss. And the question that you're asking, a phenomenal question, because a lot of people battle it. Like, hey, you're playing this thing. How do you avoid just getting, you know, that that huge 9-point move or whatever it was in one day? How do you avoid that huge loss? And the fact is, you have to become a really good loser. So, for example, Tom Brady, right, he has lost more Super Bowls than most teams have won. And if you're going to become a professional, just an elite, the highest upper echelon possible, you're going to have to lose really well. And when you lose really well, you have to lose small. You have to lose a certain amount and stick with it. So that's usually that's my approach. Every single day, every single week, every single month, if I lose on a trade, I know I'm going to lose $450. Hopefully, or less, right? So it's like, this is going to be my amount. It's not a variable. It's a consistent amount. So in the market, you want to remove variables. So if you're losing, if you keep the exact same amount every single time that you do lose on, and mathematically, it's actually pretty easy to figure out, you just remove the fact that that one huge trade, because you're going to lose, right? That's a fact. But when you do lose, you already know how much you're going to lose, and that helps massively with anything like that.
How did you come up with that 450 figure? Is that something that was a progression? Maybe you started out smaller, and as you made more profits, you opted. How did you come to that 450 number?
That's a really good question, and you're right. It grows over time, but usually most traders say that you want to risk anywhere between 1-2% of your account, right? That's the max amount. So, for example, let's say you had a $50,000 account. 1% of $50,000 would be $500. I usually like the 1%, but I think the smaller risk possible, the better. So even if you have a $100,000 account, $1,000 risk per trade still might seem like a lot to some traders. So I can say you can have 1-2% of your account, but at the same time, you can always go lower if you want. So you can do 0.5% or 0.35%. So really, you have to pick a number lower than 2% of your account size, and that's your risk. That's not your investment, right? Because you're going to invest sometimes, well, not sometimes, you're going to invest more than that pretty much all the time. But that's going to be how much you're going to lose if you're wrong. So for me personally, it's about 0.39% of my account, which is just really just a random number I chose at a certain specific time.
All right, and you're using physical stops, systems, mental stops, working your way out of the trades. Is something that's automated or something that you have to work out, at your own discretion?
Good question, man. Oh, I get this question so much, with the mental and the hard stops. And really, there's a big world that's on this line. Like, hey, should I put the stops in there? Because if I have the stops in there, you know, the stock's going to get run up my stop and I'm going to get stopped out, so on and so forth. And really, what I say to that is, I don't think the market knows where your stop is. The market knows where everyone's stop is. So, you know, they can see, okay, there's obviously a support resistance right there. So if we break through that, people are going to be trapped and people are going to be stopped out and people are going to lose money. I do use hard stops. I very often, Scott Joe, I use a what's called an OCO order, order canceled other. So usually if I'm in a trade, I have a target and I have a stop set up automatically. And if one goes through, so let's say the stop goes through, right, then the target would get canceled. Or if the target gets hit, then the stop gets canceled. And usually I just set the hard stop and walk away just to avoid any mental error or a mental lapse where I go, yeah, you know, I still want to hold Scott's Miracle Grow. I think it's a good short. And it's like, nah, it keeps going higher and higher and higher.
Are those automated or are you doing all this manually?
I mean, as far as automated, yeah, it's an automatic order. I manually put it in initially, so I look at the stock, calculate where I'm going to put my stop, determine how many shares I'm either going to short or long, and then, yep, just place the stop, boom, and now it's automatic, ready to go.
All right, so what's on the radar for today?
Today, I mean, I'm very close to my Netflix. A lot of the tech stocks, because, I mean, just a huge... Oh man, Friday and Monday. Oh boy, those were incredible. And I like keeping an eye on Netflix because Netflix and really Apple, they pulled back down to a big level for me, which was the 100 simple moving average on the daily chart. And the fact that the stocks were beautiful, they were looking good, strong trend, right? Pretty much an undeniable trend, just a really, really quick drop lower. They're not specifically gapping to anywhere that's amazing or wonderful, but they just pull back to a really good level, and they look very nice for kind of swing perspective. Also, keeping an eye on Snapchat. That sounds terrible, but it does look like it traded back down to a support level, the same price, the exact same price, actually, that it bounced back in May the 11th, when it gapped down earnings. Trading right back down to that price, that $18 price. You got a very, very similar candle the day before yesterday on the 12th of June. So that like Morningstar reversal type of move, and has a really good support level. So if it's going to bounce from there, I kind of like it long for a swing trade. As far as the day trade, there's been a lot of inside candles, but the defense sector still looks really strong. Boeing looks good to continue higher. Lockheed Martin looks like a lock to continue higher. I like airlines. I like U.S. Steel. Ticker symbol X.
All right, let's break down the U.S. Steel here. Big run up, came down and filled the gap. What are you looking? You're looking at the head and shoulders bottom there, or what? I mean, and I also see like a triple bottom there. What are you expecting? And is this a swing trade, or is this something you're trading on a day trade?
Solid question, man. Yeah, I love keeping my eyes on U.S. Steel pretty much all the time. It's a fun stock. It's pretty volatile. It's a blue chip stock. It pays dividends, and it moves. It moves pretty well. I am watching it as a swing trade though, because I'm looking at U.S. Steel, and you're totally right, Joel. That was a beautiful head and shoulders on the daily chart, like from December to March time frame. But it turned down 50% in like 2 months, right? It went from 40 to 20. That's huge. That's for stock, for a company of any size magnitude to do that, especially one that's been around for over 100 years. I think it's a buy low, sell high for a swing trade, and that's a huge gap. It is a retest gap, in my opinion, meaning that people who are short the trade eventually are going to start buying to cover. And I think that's what's been happening since mid-May. It's just the shorts have been slowly buying. The people who want to get long are going to slowly start buying. And I think this gap fills. That's kind of my call on X for the next, probably the next 2 to 3 months. We slowly, slowly, arduously fill that gap. And then from there, I don't exactly know what we do, but I think the gap does fill, and I'll be keeping an eye on that to happen.
Hey, Jeremy, Dennis Dick here. Just a question on, you know, overall technical setups, because, you know, here's a stock that's been killed in the last quarter and it's starting to come back. A lot of time, are you looking for setups like this where a stock, you know, actively looking, you know, in a lot of your trades for stocks that have been, you know, maybe overdone, maybe killed too much, and are now starting to show some life? Is that like one of your core strategies?
That's a great question. I usually do because the whole I'm a Warren Buffett subscriber.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah. I'm with you, Jeremy.
When you're the second richest person in the world, it's hard not to kind of listen to what you say. But a lot of people doubt the company when there's a lot of people saying the stock's going to go zero, when there's blood in the streets. And when I'm looking at a stock, I'm like, wow, this thing has gotten destroyed. Yeah, I'm looking for a buying opportunity, kind of like Lumber Liquidators. You know, yep. when people stop talking about it, when it stops becoming sexy, when it's not showing up on news channels or stories, and it's just, you're looking at that chart, you're like, good grief, this thing got destroyed. And I start looking for some buying opportunities. El Pollo Loco, the crazy chicken, is kind of one of them too that just fell under the radar. People love that IPO. It moved. It was at 40. Kramer's chatting about it, and then a year later, boom, it's down at 10. And it's been trading sideways for an entire year without saying anything. And that looks to me like a accumulation pattern. The buy low, sell high. Warren Buffett 101. Now, I'm not saying he's in this trade. I don't think he's bought it. I actually have no idea. Probably not. But I have eaten at El Pollo Loco. It's really good. And, if I know how a company makes money, right? They're a restaurant. People eat there. And I can physically see and touch their product. And if I can buy their product easily and other people buy their product, and I know how they make money and they're at a low level, sure, I can buy them. So the El Pollo looks good. Shake Shack. Same thing, man. So, Dennis, you're totally right. Shake Shack is a stock that's gotten really beat up. I mean, it went from almost $100 to $30, like a 70% loss. And what was it, 3.5 months maybe? And then trade sideways for a year in a pretty nice channel. So, again, it looks like it has a lot of upside potential. So, yeah, you probably have to. If there's a stock that got beat up, huge decline. It doesn't happen overnight. And that's why a lot of people – hate it, and because when these stocks are just low, they want it to run up in a week and a half. It's like, well, it's going to take probably 2 or 3 years. That's investing. The more patient you are, the more money you make. I think that was a Warren Buffett quote, something to the extent of the market is a great dictator between who is patient and wealthy and impatient and broke.
All right, Jeremy, just real quick, what do you got? You got something going on special this week in reallifetrading.com?
I appreciate you asking, Joe. Yes, I actually do. So I only do this twice a year for my company personally, where we offer an open house. I have business mentors, and people tell me all the time that I should offer like a free trial to my trading room and get people in there. But I'm a terrible businessman. I'm a horrible salesman. I'm just a really good trader, and I love teaching. So I only do it twice a year. This week actually is the only week of 2017 where I'm offering an open house for my day trading room. So that actually is going to start in about 10 minutes. So if anybody wants to join, they can email me, jeremy@reallifetrading.com. Today, tomorrow, Friday, the morning and afternoon day trading room are entirely open to everybody in the world. And we're teaching people how to day trade this stuff, how to incorporate something big picture like Dow theory into day trading the markets, and how you can use a day trading philosophy to also approach longer-term trading about risk management. It's a phenomenal opportunity for anyone who wants it. It's free. So, I appreciate you asking, Joel. Anyone who wants to sign up, I'd love to have you involved.
All right, I'll be down there to visit you in Nashville soon. Jeremy Newsome, president and CEO, founder of Real Life Trading. Thanks, Jeremy. We'll get you on again soon.
Yeah, you got it, guys. You rock. Have a great day.
All right, S&P futures bouncing back. A little bit of a sell-off on that number. S&P's right now up 375 or 4175. Looks like we'll be testing that all-time high at 2443.50. Early in the session, banks continued weakness here. Doesn't look like they're going to be participating in the rally. Bank America trading in the red here by 22 cents. JP Morgan in the red by 52 cents. Dennis, our balances are reflecting the weakness in the financials.
Not yet. And that's probably because you have a lot of people who had probably orders on the book before 8:30, and they just haven't come in with the other orders yet. So I'm seeing some buy imbalances, but they're small. JP Morgan, 48,000 buy, Citi, 39,000 to buy. I would imagine those are going to flip to sell. I mean, one institution comes in and says sell 100, then the 39,000 to buy goes to 60 to sell. So there's going to be some, it looks like some sellers coming in here to the financials at least early here, because we've got some serious weakness in the banks. I mean, they're all down 1%. It's not like they just they went down and then they started to show some life. They kind of went down and they just kind of hung out. So, and you know, now we've traded for 20 minutes down here. So you're starting to trade some volume down here. So it's starting to get priced in. So it looks at least like at the open, we're going to see weakness in the financials. You're definitely seeing rotation here this morning. You're seeing it, you know, and from the, you know, stuff like the banks and the interest rate insensitive stuff. And you're seeing, you know, stuff like the TLT. It's a huge rally in the TLT. It's up a buck and 11 here this morning. So, you know, they're banking that maybe today's number make the Fed a little bit more dovish. So, you know, then obviously, so we're getting Fed commentary here at 2 o'clock, and you know the Fed decisions. So that you know is what's impacting all of that stuff today. So watch this stuff. You know your yield plays. You know, because those could be a little bit stronger, and obviously, you know, and stocks that trade like bonds. And then you know your financials are probably looking a little bit weak here, at least at the open.
All right, going back to the stuff we thought we were going to cover on the show today here.
We covered nothing what we thought we were going to talk about.
We have some guidance here. It looks like ANTM. Is that Anthem that's providing some guidance?
That is Anthem, yes. ANTM is giving some guidance this morning. They're reaffirming their guidance for the fiscal year. They see EPS of at least $11.60 versus an $11.78 estimate. So just reaffirming that guidance.
I mean, do they really
big need action here?
Yeah.
Share is traded. And here's your spread: $169.35 to $199,999.99. So it's a big stub quote up there. So there's actually no offers in the book right now. There's offers in the book, but there's no offers in the active pre-market right now.
You have the all-time high that was made about 5-6 sessions ago at 89.30. That's flanked by a high at 89 even and 89.18. So $2 away from there. Just looks like someone trying to get out of some stock here in the 189 handle. We'll see if we can get, like right now, trading flat on the session. Not much news on that.
And also
about Biogen.
I was just going to bring that up, Dennis. Biogen looks like they got poached. Their CFO, Paul Clancy, joining Alexion Pharmaceuticals, ALXN. Actually, this is not even the first big C-suite departure for Biogen this year. So in addition to losing now their CFO, they have now lost their head of HR. They have lost their executive vice president of technology and their chief science officer all this year.
So Biogen's loss is Alexion's gain, because ALXN trading up over 5 points here in the pre-market on this news. This happened last night after hours, and you immediately saw Biogen getting hit and ALXN catching a bid here. So obviously this guy must be pretty good, because shareholders Biogen not liking losing them, and Alexion likes the fact that they're getting them.
Also in CEO, in January their CEO was replaced. That's the biggest one. So a lot of turnover this year.
Yeah, just hit a 114 in pre-market trading here. Boy, oh boy, a big sell-off here. Took it up. Maybe keep an eye, see what happens at 115 and 117.50. But you know what? And I don't know how I took my eye off this stock. For the implications of like when the change in the C-suite. I mean, come on. They take General Electric from 27 and change up to 29.5. I mean, what's the guy going to come in?
That was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. And I looked at it. I don't know. I don't know how I did not see this thing going down yesterday. Opening print.
It's fell in that gap. Well, I think it's going to fill
that
gap. Yeah,
I do too. I thought it might hang up here for a day or two. But you know what? The institutions thought I was going to get another shot at the 29.50 level. You know how GE likes to make double tops and double bottoms and whatnot. But once again, the emphasis of the opening print. Opening print, 29.12. You had that up print. Went 4 more pennies, and how the thing got all the way to 28.34 yesterday with a 45
huge
close. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Never take your eye off those top 10 components in the S&Ps.
Deutsche Bank was out there selling it, weren't they?
Today, you know what? I heard Deutsche Bank thinks they're cutting the dividend.
Did they say that yet?
No, they didn't say it again.
Yesterday?
No. They
haven't said it this week yet, so they're probably coming out today. They'll probably come out with a down, or you know, they'll just say, "Hey, remember, we think the GE's cutting the dividend."
You know, I
the inside joke that Deutsche Bank keeps saying that.
You know, I looked at their prior rating on the issue too, and they downgraded it when it was like at 22, and they brought the target down to 25, and that's when it went to 32. So we'll see next time.
They paid us forever.
Yeah, they did. They got it. I mean, they got it going. They got that sell-off going. We'll see about the dividend. Ratings, analysts doing
couple.
Yeah, okay, what do we got?
Starbucks. Starbucks downgraded at Wedbush here just to neutral, but SBUX is trading down. And, you know, quiet sell-off. It's an ugly chart here. 6 days in a row. This is, you know, a trend. You know, it's funny how these trends, you know, we had six straight up days in a row prior to the six down days in a row. So SBUX, funny looking, you know, when it starts going one direction, it keeps going for a while sometimes. And now you get the downgrade from Wedbush. Feels a little late to the party to me. Anyways, we're down another 50 cents. We're coming to the big psychological $60 level. I'm looking for 60 for a bounce. So I'm going against Wedbush on this. If they can drive this down basically to 60 bucks, I think there could be a bounce level there kicking around SBUX at 60.
And you had buyers last 2 days at the 60-60 level. We're trading below that. The low of the pre-market is right here at 60.42 now. So keep an eye on that. Also closing near the low. So see if you can get back above 66, the old double bottom. Dennis is probably leaning on this low that you had at 59.94. Nice whole number here. Let's see if our shorts come in to take us some profits here. What a steep, 6 day decline. Maybe they got this mixed up as a tech stock or whatever. But downgrade here in Starbucks, and Larry, who has made some good picks. He was he called that five below when it was way below here. Now is liking Nokia, NOK. Is that how it comes up? I mean, this thing just kind of, it's an ADR, so it makes its moves overnight.
Trading off your, yeah, it makes
yeah.
it move over.
So, I mean, it's a nice chart. Good support there at the 630 level. Really like to see it close above 60, 660 for another run higher.
Just while you mentioned five below, just quick, is getting downgraded here today at KeyBank. And that's why if you look at FIVE, it's trading down 76 cents here in the pre-market, is offered down, and that chart looks a little bit, you know, 50 needs to hold is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, that low just under 50 bucks. 9 a.m. Here's Spencer. You want to wrap up today's show in preview Thursday.
Well, as we mentioned with the Fed meeting today, we thought it appropriate to get Evan Schnidman on for tomorrow show. He's the CEO of Prattle. They use AI and algorithms to sort of evaluate the speeches of Fed and the statements from the Fed and what they actually mean and compared to what they've said in the past and what they've said versus what they've done, and interpreting the statements as maybe more in-depth way. Actually, a study came out last year that said that Evan's algorithms do actually a very good job of predicting future Fed behavior. So we're going to get him on tomorrow to analyze what the Fed says today. And hope you enjoyed our show for the day. That's it for us. If you want to listen to our podcast, don't forget to get that on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. Just search for Benzinga or Premarket. You can also like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, also Benzinga Pro. Can't forget about that. It's Benzinga's real-time news platform. With Benzinga Pro, you can be the first to know, trade faster, and trade smarter. So that's it for us. Have a good rest of your day, everyone, and we'll see you folks tomorrow. Good luck out there.
Whether you're a short-term swing trader or a long-term investor, you need to check out Thinkorswim, brought to you by TD Ameritrade. There's a reason why Thinkorswim has been named the number one trading platform, because it has it all. With Thinkorswim, you can trade stocks, options, futures, Forex, and virtually every other type of order. Get notifications on mobile devices and interact with other traders in chat rooms. You can also use technical indicators and see the latest investing and trading education in Think Money magazine. If you want to keep up with the markets, you need Thinkorswim. To experience everything Thinkorswim has to offer, open a TD Ameritrade account today. Thinkorswim, the online trading platform for traders and investors. TD Ameritrade, member SIPC. All investing involves risks.